May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What would you do if you were trusted with a small fortune? Let's say a wealthy relative, or a neighbor, or maybe someone you barely even know, stops you on your way out the front door one morning. They have to leave the country for a while, rather suddenly, and they want to leave you with $1.5 million, right? Pretty good. They are trusting you to take care of this money away, but they give you no instructions about how to keep it or spend it. They'll return at some point, don't worry, they say, but with no further instructions, they hop in a cab to the airport. How would you feel? What would you do first? What would you do with that money? This is the very decision facing the servants in the parable that Jesus tells us today. Today, Jesus tells us yet another parable about what the kingdom of heaven will be like. It's like a master who, before leaving, calls three servants and entrusts talents to each one according to their ability. 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. A talent was a coin, but it wasn't like a quarter or something. In Jesus' day, just 1 talent is equivalent to 15 years worth of household income. 1 talent was worth 15 years worth of paychecks and wages. What is being trusted to them is no mere pocket change. It is a small fortune. So the master gives them the fortune and leaves. What would you do with that money? We don't know exactly what the servants with 2 and 5 talents do, but they do seem to make good use of what they have, and in each case, they double their investment. That's a pretty good return, right? But the servant with the 1 talent, he is a fearful man. He is afraid to use that talent. He is afraid that his efforts to make more won't produce enough. No, he is afraid that if he shares or invests that fortune, he will lose some of it. No, he's afraid that if he shares or invests that fortune, he will lose all of it. And then what would others think of him? What would they think of his business savvy and his investment strategies? What would the master think? This talent, no, this talent is no blessing. This talent is a curse, a terrible, horrible test that he is doomed to fail. The master will surely judge him harshly. So, rather than risk it, rather than use the talent he was given, he will hide it, bury it, keep it safe and secret and out of sight. Then he won't risk a thing. Then he can return to the master what is his. Eventually, the master returns. Servants given 2 and 5 talents are commended for doubling their haul. Well done, good and trustworthy slave. Enter into the joy of your master. And then the servant with the 1 talent comes forward. He is a fearful man. You can almost see him cowering, hear his voice trembling. Master, I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. The master's response is not the response we would usually expect from our loving, merciful Jesus, right? You wicked and lazy slave, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, but from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. Take this worthless slave, throw him to the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It might well bother us how this poor, fearful slave is treated. It is worrisome to us how he is cast into the outer darkness without a second thought. And it might be troubling to us because some of his fears sound all too familiar. We are afraid for this fearful slave who buries his talent in the ground because, when we are honest, this fearful slave is often us. We hide away our talent for fear of revealing who we really are. We fear risking it and being ostracized, laughed at. We fear discovering that we can't really take care of things on our own. We fear not being recognized for what we do, not leaving our mark on the world, not leaving something behind for our families. We fear not living up to what our partner, our parent, our friends want of us, not living up to what God wants of us. We fear having to recognize that much of what we have found valuable in this world is not valuable to God. We fear having to change our morals, our way of life, our actions. We fear change. We fear. We fear, we fear, and we fear. So we bury that talent in the ground, just hoping it's still there to give to the master when he returns. Yet in the glaring light of God's goodness and love, such fears become utter foolishness. There was once a monk who feared God, who so feared God's judgment and anger that he was consumed in every waking moment by this fear. He was never happy, never even comfortable. So he buried his talent in the ground and he felt tormented. We've talked a lot about that unhappy, fearful monk this fall. His name was Martin Luther. But over the years, that fearful monk came to define faith as an ultimate belief in the goodness of God. That even amidst tough times, even in fear, even in moments when it looks like God is to blame for our terrible circumstances, faith is trusting that above all, God is good. If we have such faith, if we truly believe in God's goodness, then what have we, poor, fearful servants, to fear? The fear makes us forget the fact that the talent is already in our hand. It's already been given to us before we've done a thing. The gift of God has already been given. The servant with the one talent and his fear is not really supposed to be a pitied character in our parable today. No. The servant with one talent is supposed to be a stooge, a fool, a ridiculous jester that we can look at and chuckle, someone we can look at to recognize the silliness of unfaith, the silliness of not believing that God is good. Jesus sets up characters for us like this all the time. Think of the older brother in the story of the prodigal son, or the man who comes to the wedding banquet and refuses to put on the right clothes, and the laborers who worked all day but were paid the same as everyone else. These people are to remind us and make us smile at the ridiculousness of the situations they have put themselves in, unwilling to accept that God is, in fact, good and merciful, unwilling to believe that the talent really is already theirs, that there was nothing more they needed to do than accept it. But we pity this character because we identify with him, right? I bet you can think of one thing, maybe a few things, that are fearful to you. We pity him because we identify with him. He is ridiculous. And so are we sometimes. We're pretty ridiculous too. We spend our lives creating imaginary hurdles that we have to jump to receive God's favor, made up tasks that we have to complete before we're good enough to receive God's grace, false achievements we have to grasp before we have earned our way into the kingdom of heaven. But God has no such requirements. God has already put the talent in our hands. All we need to do is trust that it is ours. And so it is. What the fearful slave can't see was that using that talent in any way pleased the master. Anything he took that talent and did would have made the master happy. It would have shown him that he accepted it, that it was his. But instead, he hid it in the ground as if he couldn't accept it, couldn't look at it, couldn't trust that it was actually his. The master is just longing to welcome the servants into his joy. So too is God longing to welcome us into his joy, into her eternal joy, and into lives lived in joy here today. If God has given us a talent, such fortune of life and love and faith, all the good things we have been given, then what does that fortune mean? What does that gift mean for how we live our lives? How can we help but live our lives using those gifts God has given us to multiply God's love throughout all of creation? We cannot sit on our dregs, as the prophet Zephaniah accused the people of in our fiery Old Testament reading, because we know who acts, we know who provides, we know the one from whom all good things come. And so our very lives, our days lived upon this earth, become an offering of thankfulness to God. It can be frightening to share what we have, to reveal a hidden talent that others might reject, to share our skills in service to our church or community when it might not be enough, to share our money when we, in fact, have no small fortune, to give our time when our days are indeed numbered. But God longs to welcome us and all people into the joy. God longs for us to accept that talent and let our thankfulness for it become an outpouring of life and love and faith that brings all people into the joy that we have known. So let me ask you again, what would you do if you were trusted with a small fortune? Or perhaps better said, what will you do now that you are trusted with a small fortune? Thanks be to God. Amen.